Okay, thank you for the introduction and for the invitation to speak here. Just wanted to say this. I was at a conference a couple of years ago where I saw one of the conference organizers take a cell phone call in the first row, actually. But never before saw a speaker take a cell phone call. It's a new topic. Okay, so I wanted to, actually kind of in the spirit of the idea of this conference, which is supposed to be interdisciplinary and so on, I wanted to present something which I think takes a lot of theoretical techniques, which are fairly well known, and applies them to a problem which, from speaking with experimentalists, I know is something that they've been concerned about, and hopefully this will actually be useful in that context. So, basically, it addresses the problem of estimating noise. So, one imagines that one has some noise sources, and one wants to know something about them. So there's lots of reasons, I mean, in quantum control generally and in quantum information processing specifically. You want to know something about the physical imperfections of the device. This is important for selecting optimal quantum error correction techniques. The distance of the code, as I'll explain shortly. And perhaps identify the presence of noiseless subsystems. So quite generally, what I'm imagining is that we have a noisy quantum channel or noisy quantum memory. So, a number of qubits that are storing information in a quantum processor. And generally speaking, one has some CP map lambda, which is characterizing the unwanted transformation that the qubits are subjected to. So just using a fairly standard notation, the noise would have a Krauss representation. And so in an ideal world, in the channel or in the memory, the action of the channel would be the identity. So you would be, whatever input state was inserted, one would obtain for the output state. But of course, that's not going to be true in general. And so one wants to learn something about this noise. So we heard earlier today about process tomography. So let me just recap some of these schemes. There's standard process tomography and scilla-insisted process tomography, and there's a direct characterization technique, which Masood introduced earlier today. So these are exact methods, but are infeasible for characterizing noise in many-body quantum systems, in large many-body quantum systems. What I mean by infeasible is that it requires 2^4 n experiments. And even if you could perform that number of experiments, one still has the problem of analyzing the data, which, I mean, this second comment may or may not apply to Masood's scheme, but certainly in the standard approaches, one has to manipulate these very large matrices classically, which is infeasible if n is large. So, but it's important to realize that we don't really want all that information. There's some small number of parameters that we want to know that will assist us in improving the design of the device or finding the right software technique, the right algorithm to correct for the kinds of errors that we have present. So we want to know things like gate fidelities or entanglement fidelities, which give kind of an overall quality benchmark. We want to know, and in particular I'm going to focus on today, is the relative probabilities of multi-body noise terms, which would determine kind of the optimal distance of error-correcting code you would want to use. And also gives an exact estimate of the overall failure probability. Typically one assumes independent noise on the qubits and then deduces from that assumption what the probability would be for, you know, k simultaneous qubit errors. But that's physically not a realistic assumption. And then you want to know, for example, are the qubits mainly phase errors, the bit flip errors, and so on. So the questions in green are questions that the scheme I'm going to describe today will address. The red stuff is stuff that I'd like to know the answer to but don't know yet. So are there good noiseless subsystems? And if so, where are they in the Hilbert space? Is the noise Markovian? Is it unital? And so on. So let me just clarify the context of error correction. A distance 2t plus 1 error correcting code will correct error operators with weight k less than or equal to t, where here we mean error operators, say, non-identity Pauli operators in a tensor product string when you decompose the Krauss operator. And so the cumulative probability of error terms with a weight greater than t gives the overall failure probability of the code. And so that's a piece of information you would want to know. And generally, you'd want to know the probabilities p sub k in this notation, which is the total probability of all k-body Pauli errors, where k obviously runs from 0 to n. So 0 means you have no errors, n means you have some n-correlated Pauli error. But then the question is, can we directly measure these parameters of the noise without using an exponentially large number of experiments? And the answer is yes. And so here's basically the protocol. It's very simple. We have our original channel lambda, which represents our noise, and then we apply independently on each qubit a random Clifford gate. Now the Clifford gates in the case of SU2 are very simple. It's, of course, just a single qubit rotation generated by the Paulis and the phase gate and the Hadamard. And the important point is that the resulting twirled channel, whereby lambda sub t, I mean this entire channel now, the point is there's uniform probabilities for x, y, and z Pauli errors. So given that you perform this procedure, then kind of the analysis of the data requires only calculating the probabilities, which I'll denote with q sub w, of the Hadamard weight w of the binary string in the final projective measurement. So in other words, going back to the picture here, we have n qubits. We measure each qubit in the computational basis. We get a 0 or a 1. We don't keep track of the order of the zeros and ones, just the total number of ones, basically. And that's the Hadamard weight, ranges from 0 to n. And we calculate the probabilities q sub w of each of these. And then what we really want to know are the probabilities p sub k of error terms with weight k. And these are just related to the measured q sub w's by an n by n positive upper triangular matrix. And so we can solve that by n substitutions and basically efficiently obtain this information that we wanted. So the computational complexity, well, we only need 2n quantum gates, 2n single qubit quantum gates. If parallel operations are allowed, the circuit depth is just 2. And then the important issue of how many repetitions are required. So from the Chernoff inequality, we know that any one of the probabilities Q sub W can be estimated within a fixed precision with constant probability with just a constant number of repetitions. So it doesn't depend at all on the dimension of the system. However, we have to measure the full string of probabilities Q sub W. So there, we can just use the union bound and see that really only order log n repetitions are required. So now compare this with a tomographic scheme which requires 2 to the 4n or 2 to the 2n in Massoud's scheme, an exponentially large number of measurements. Now, I'm not a complexity theorist, but I don't know if this is really called an exponential savings because it's not going from exponential to polynomial, but exponential to logarithmic. So I don't know if there's a special term for that, but it's at least exponential savings over process tomography. Is it double exponential? Yeah? Okay, yeah, I guess that makes sense. So anyways, it's a dramatic saving. So so it's a fairly straightforward scheme. I was describing this to Dan earlier, and he said it's essentially the scheme that's used in the six-state QKD protocol, but here applied in a slightly different context. So an NMR implementation of the scheme is in progress with Ray Laflamme's group at IQC. And the idea is that in NMR, one has these kind of, the Hamiltonian is always on. So the qubits are constantly interacting. And so you have to kind of do work to have no interaction. And there, they have these time suspension sequences. Well, in solid state NMR, they call it time suspension, just decoupling schemes or just pi pulses in the liquid state case. So the idea is, what is the quality of these schemes? What is the residual error? Which speaks to the question of scalability of the implementation and so on. And so the idea is to implement this scheme in NMR, and also with work with David Corey's group, we've been looking at using a similar scheme to estimate the weight of the Hamiltonian generators of the noise. This is kind of an approach that's less directed towards, say, quantum error correction and more directed towards understanding the physical mechanisms of the noise and characterizing it that way. And it appears, I haven't worked out the full details yet, but it appears that the relative contribution of kind of phase versus bit flip errors can also be determined by a fairly simple generalization of the scheme, which is useful also for optimizing the error correction scheme. And so I just wanted to mention one kind of set of open questions, which is whether or not there's some kind of generalized approach here that this is an instance of, which would allow some randomization scheme which would symmetrize the channel in such a way to identify other relevant features of the noise, such as the presence of noiseless subsystems, as I mentioned earlier, or detect, for example, unitality of the noise, and so on. So with that, I'd like to thank you for your attention.